Today on Hardwired.
We've got to be a people who know how to go into the prayer closet, shut the door, take the phone off the hook, close the People magazine, get in there with the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm in the middle of a storm, but what do you say? Because it's never over until God has had his say.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. It's so good to have you with us, and thank you for joining us. Well, today we're going to begin what I'm calling the Bible Blockbuster Series. And the first thing I want to deal with is one of my favorite Bible stories. It's when the disciples were out at sea and a terrible storm arose. They panicked. They freaked out. They wondered if the Lord was even going to save them. They thought they were going to drown. And of course, Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves and saved them. But there is something we can really learn here about fear, because that story is really an illustration of life. Sometimes we just feel like things are out of control. Where's God? Is he going to help me? I can't wait to share part two of the message, Fear Factor, the Disciples at Sea. Let's go right to it.
I don't watch much TV, and I've never watched the Fear Factor. I have seen a few excerpts, but I watched a few minutes of it, kind of said that's not for me, but I got the gist. And here's the gist. The Fear Factor, they would give two teams challenges. Some of them were mental challenges, some physical challenges, but there's always a scary factor to them. A little bit frightening what they were being asked to do, or gross or something like that. And when it got right down to the end of the show, you were given the scariest challenge of all. And if you won, not only did you get $50,000, I believe, which would knock the fear out of some of you, but the host would come up to you, and here's what he would say. He would say, evidently, fear is not a factor for you. And that was the way it ended. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Now, I want to tell you that for every person in this sanctuary today, here's what God wants to be able to say over us. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, that we would be locked into and bound up in fear, but he has given us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. The Holy Ghost never panics. And so we need to learn how to yield to him in the time of storm. But I hope that when we finish today, it will begin to be said of you and of me by those who watch us go through difficult times, even stormy times. Evidently, fear is not a factor for you. Can you say with me, fear is not a factor for me? Can you preach it to me one more time? Fear is not a factor for me, because you're a child of God. I want to tell you today that Jesus will do anything to get to you. Jesus will go anywhere to find you. Jesus will be inconvenienced as much as need be to get to you, just to set you free. And folks, let me tell you, there are people just like this man in our culture today who need to be set free, and the Lord is wanting to get to them. The Lord cares about them, knows about them, and he knows about you and about me today. There's not a thing hidden before the eyes of the Lord. He knows what has addicted us. He knows what is binding us. He knows what is haunting us. He knows what is gripping us. He knows the content of our soul. This storm and this journey across the sea is a picture of life. And the first thing that we need to realize about life is that storms happen when you least expect it. They do not send you a telegram, special delivery, I will be there in a week. Storms come suddenly, and they crush us. Just like the waves were beating down on those disciples, the circumstances of life, like great waves, begin to beat upon us and crush us. We wake up one day and the sky is blue, the sun is shining, all is well, and we go to work and we sit down and on our desk is a pink slip. Thanks. It's been real. Oh, and by the way, the 401k is gone as well. And you're out at sea and suddenly there's a storm. Or you go to the doctor for just a normal physical and he comes in and says, sit down, I need to tell you something. Or you wake up one day and the bed's empty and your spouse has walked out and you didn't see it coming and you've been left alone and you haven't been alone in years and you don't know what you're going to do with your life and you can't believe it because you didn't know anything was that wrong. And how could they have done this? And suddenly the wind is howling and the waves are beating on the boat of your life. Be careful how you interpret your storms. Peter encouraged us in this. He said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. See, he was talking to a church that was going through some fiery ordeals. And they thought, well, wait a minute, I'm saved. Jesus is in my boat. I'm in the middle of the will of God. What is all of this? This is strange. Peter said, it's not strange at all. But watch what he said. I want you to rejoice. Can everybody say with me, rejoice? He didn't say rejoice when you get to the other side. He didn't say rejoice when things change. He didn't say rejoice when the clouds pass. He said right in the middle of the fiery ordeal, when the waves are beating into the boat and you feel like you're about to sink, that's when I want you to get your hands up in the air, and that's when I want you to rejoice. So can we say it again, church? Rejoice. Now say with me, rejoice is a choice. I make a choice to rejoice. Rejoicing will not come and put you in a headlock when you're in the middle of a storm. When you're in the middle of a storm, what you don't want to rejoice. You want to complain. You want to murmur. You want to panic. You want to cry out. You want to say, where is God? But Peter said, rejoice, and here's why. Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Now, watch this. It's a choice to rejoice. But once you get through to the other side, the overjoying is something that happens to you. You're not having to choose to do it. It's welling up within you. Why? Because his glory has been revealed on the other side of your storm. The end of a storm in the life of the child of God is always his glory is revealed. God is able to make all things work together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. The Bible says that God makes even our enemies to praise him, makes even negative circumstances submit to him. See, when you get to the other side, God's glory in some way, shape, or form is always revealed, particularly if we go through the trial with our faith intact. So rejoice. In the end, his glory will be revealed. But the next thing I see in this story is the disciples' error. They made a mistake in believing the storm's report more than the Lord's report. Now, here's where I really want to home in and bring something home to us today. They yielded the fear factor rather than the faith factor. When this storm took place, if you read before the storm in your Bible, go back at what they had experienced a few chapters before the storm. They had already listened to the Sermon on the Mount, the beautiful, glorious, incredible Sermon on the Mount. They had heard the whole thing. And in that Sermon on the Mount, they had heard Jesus say, don't worry about anything. I don't want you to worry because I'm going to take care of you. Your Heavenly Father has got it all under control. I want you to know God's got it. It's okay. You don't ever need to worry. You don't need to worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. They forgot all about that. They had already seen Jesus heal leprosy. They'd already seen him deliver a paralyzed man. They'd already seen him literally raise a man from the dead and pull him out of his coffin and give him back to his mother. They had seen all that, but it all went out the window when the storm hit their boat. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Their ears were filled with the howl of the wind. Their eyes were gripped by the rolling waves. They felt the water rising over their feet and over their legs, and they panicked. And you know what they did? They began to fellowship with their storm. Now, church, hear me. When we're in a storm, there's two voices vying for our attention. The voice of the storm and the voice of the Lord. And oh, our God is so good to get into the middle of the storm with us and talk to us if we will listen to him. But that storm, you need to know, has a voice. And that storm has a message. And if you're not careful, you'll begin to fellowship with that storm and listen to that storm and agree with that storm rather than listening to the voice of the Lord. The storm was saying to them, you're going to die. This is it. You have reached the end. This is the end for you. You thought you had a big life ahead of you. Ha, ha, ha. He's asleep in the boat. He's not even involved with you. Where is he now? You're going down. This is it. You're going into the sea and you're not coming out on the other side. You're going to be swallowed up by this ocean. It's over for you, dude. You ever had a storm talk to you? Every storm brings a message, and the message is fear, and it's doubt, and it's hopelessness, and it's despair, and it wants you to fellowship with it. So that when he says, this is the end for you, the storm says, you say, you know, I think you're right. I really feel like all the circumstances are pointing to this being the end for me. I agree with you, Mr. Storm. Let's take a walk together, and you can keep on talking to me, and I'll keep on talking to you, and let's fellowship, because I agree with you, Mr. Storm. But the word of God also speaks right in the middle of your storm. We've got to be a people who know how to go into the prayer closet, shut the door, take the phone off the hook, close the People magazine, get in there with the word of God and say, Lord, I'm in the middle of a storm, but what do you say? Because it's never over until God has had his say. Never. When my son was about 2 years old, I was working at Texas Instruments. I had just graduated from college. I knew I was called to preach, and I was waiting for God to put it all together for me and begin to open some doors. But in the meantime, I was at TI, and I was working at TI. I got home from work one day, and I walked in, and Kathy said, come in here quickly. She took me into the bedroom, and there was my little two-year-old son, Jeremy. He was roasting, burning up with fever. He was in convulsions. He couldn't talk to me. He was out of it. I touched him and I couldn't believe how hot he was. I said, uh-oh, we're going to have to take him to emergency. So we loaded him up, took him to emergency, took him into the emergency doctor. He lifted up his shirt and he saw that on his stomach there were all kinds of these little red dots. And the doctor did a couple of quick tests and he said, I don't want to scare you. And I want to say to him, wait a minute. When a doctor says, I don't want to scare you, you've already scared me. How many of you ever had a doctor say to you, I don't want to scare you? When a doctor says, I don't want to scare you, sit down. He said, I don't want to scare you, but this looks like meningococcemia. He said, Mr. Wickwire, this could be fatal. When I went home, the sky was blue. Suddenly there was a storm. The love of my life, my little boy, who I cherished, was laying there, unable to recognize me, convulsing, burning with fever. And I was told it might be fatal, but it was evening by now. And he said, you're going to have to get out of the room because we're going to have to give him a spinal tap. And I listened to him screaming as they gave him a spinal tap. A little two-year-old ran that needle into his spine. And I remember, I can't take it. I can't take listening to him being in pain. And I can't even be in there. But the next day, I had to get up and go to work before we had any results. And I went to work. And I'll never forget, at TI, there was these giant hallways. I was oblivious to all the people.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
I was just walking up and down those hallways saying, Jesus, help me. I'm in a storm. The waves, the storm was talking to me. You're going to lose him. The storm was speaking to me. This is it. You're going to lose your boy. This is it. There's nothing you can do. The doctors were right. That's exactly what it is. You're about to get a call. Some of you know what that's like. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me, clear as a bell, and said, he's going to be all right. And peace washed over my soul. And I learned something right then and there, that in a storm, there's two voices talking to you. The voice of the storm, the message of the storm, the threats of the storm, or the voice of the Lord. Can I tell you, in any storm you're in, God's got a word for you. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. And you have no need that any man teach you. But the same anointing which you have received, who abides in you, will teach you all things and bring to your mind all things that the Lord has spoken to us. We have a great spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. And he will tell you things to come. We have a supernatural person living inside of us who understands the storm, who knows the storm, and has an answer of peace in the middle of your storm. And I said, Lord, I receive that word, and I'm not going to fellowship with the storm anymore. I receive it. Before I left that day, Kathy called and said, thank God, we just got a call from the doctor. It's not what they thought it was, and his fever is already broken. But I already knew. I knew because I've got somebody in my boat. I've got a Lord in my boat, a Savior in my boat, a Messiah in my boat. I was thinking of Paul the Apostle. He was in a shipwreck of his own. He was in a storm at sea himself. And he told them, don't go a certain way and don't sail a certain way or you're going to experience great trouble. And they did not listen to the man of God. They went anyway, and a storm struck their ship, and it was full of men that were lost. And that storm tossed them and broke the ship up. And the Bible says that the men had lost all hope. It says, and when they had lost all hope, not some hope, not a little hope, when they had lost all their hope and were convinced of the message of the storm, you're going to die. Where was Paul? The man of God was down in the middle of the ship. And he was fellowshipping not with the storm, but he was fellowshipping with the Savior. And he said, Jesus, I give this to you. And it says, Paul came out from the bottom of the ship and spoke to all of these men who had believed the message of the storm. And he said, an angel of God stood with me tonight. And he told me, you're going to lose the ship, but you're not going to lose one person with you because I've called you to speak to Caesar. And because you're a man of destiny, I'm going to give you everybody sailing with you. And the ship hit rocks and it broke in pieces. They all grabbed hold of something and floated to shore, but not one man was lost. So you had two kinds of people on that boat, those fellowshipping with the storm and those fellowshipping with the Savior. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be the one in the storm fellowshipping with the Savior, receiving the word of God, not the message of the storm. Come on, everybody. I want to be able to say to desperate people, you may feel like you're going down for the count, but I know a Savior who can pick you up and dust you off and deliver you of demonic influence and set your feet on solid ground. And he can put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. Many are going to see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It's not over. I love the word of God. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence or disease that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. So storms come suddenly. Be careful how you interpret your storm and don't come under condemnation for it. And know that God has a word for you, a word for you in your storm. There's something he wants to say to you. I know that because of what I'm about to show you in the word, and I see all through the scripture. Because what we find out is the storm's report to the disciples was not true. Lord, we're going to drown. That wasn't true. See, it's not the storms of life that matter the most. It's who's in your boat with you when the storms hit. We're in a culture right now who has said to God, don't need you, don't want you, get out. But a storm is coming. And let me tell you who's going to float and not sink. Those who have said, Jesus, I do want you. Jesus, I do receive you. Jesus, I do believe in you and embrace you, and I do not want you out, but I want you in. I don't want to reject you. I want to receive you. I don't want to go my own way. I want to walk with you in your way. Those of us that have Jesus in the boat, the one thing they did right is they ran to him and said, Jesus, we're going to drown. And they turned to the Lord, and Jesus stood up Let me tell you, when Jesus stands up, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. When Jesus stands up, when Jesus stands up in your boat, that storm is doomed. I love this. It says, Jesus woke up, stood up, and rebuked the wind. Now the Greek says he turned to the wind and said, stop. And to the waves, rolling, huge waves, crashing against the... He looked at them, stop. Talk to the storm, stop. And the Bible says, suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Can you imagine that moment? What a blockbuster moment. Stop, stop, stop. How do you think they were looking at him? Now, the blockbuster in the story is not the storm, though it was a blockbuster storm. The blockbuster is not the miracle, though it was a great miracle. The blockbuster is the question they asked, because it's the single most important question you and I will ever ask. Who is this man? John turned to Peter. Who is this man? We like the way he taught. Wow, he did some cool miracles. But he just talked to nature, and it obeyed. He was about to get to the other side, and they were about to see that not only could he talk to nature, he could talk to demons, and they obeyed. Who is this man? That's the question of the ages. What you do with that question is going to decide your eternal fate. What'd you do with this man? Who was this man? Who is this man? Great teacher, one of many world religious leaders. Who is this man? This man is not like any other man who ever lived or ever will. Only God can talk to nature and make nature obey. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was very theos, God. You know what they were realizing? They were realizing who they had really hooked up with. You got to know that. Jesus, the teacher, turned it into a classroom session. He said, you've asked the best question you could ask. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, I am God, wrapped in skin. That's why the wind obeys me, the waves obey me, the storm obeys me, the demons are about to obey me, because I'm God. He was prepping them for their next level. Because do you think when this man came running out of the tombs, racing towards them, naked, that he can't be bound in chains? Screaming, tormented, lunatic face. You think that if they hadn't seen this miracle, they would have been ready for that? But when they saw Jesus tell wind and waves to stop, and they saw the lunatic coming, they said, he's got it. He's got it. He's got it. Well, how do you know that? Because the waves obey him. The wind obeys him. He's God. So they were ready. Robert Louis Stevenson tells the story of a ship tossed in a vicious storm. True story. The sea was rough and the rocky coast was perilous. Danger was real and dread fear gripped the sailors. One frantic young sailor was laboring below the waterline, could contain himself no longer. He ran up, ran into the control room, closed the door behind him, and stood in frozen fright, watching the captain wrestle with the controls of the huge ship. Skill of mind and strength of hand enabled the captain to guide the vessel through the threatening rocks into open water. The captain turned slightly, looked at the frightened sailor, and smiled. The young man returned below deck and assured the crew all danger was over. They said, how do you know all danger is over? He said, I've seen the face of the captain, and he smiled at me. You know what God's doing right now? All you need to see in your storm is the face of the captain. The captain of our salvation. He's smiling in the middle of our storm. You know what he's saying? I've got it. I've got it.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.